Well, it's a blessing to be back tonight. We appreciate you being in the service. Good Spirit of God. The Bible said if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So we thank God for the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. And I do appreciate Michael, my grandson. My two grandsons got saved about a year ago. And that's the biggest blessing I've had since I got saved. Best thing in the world, after you get saved, see somebody else get saved. It's almost like getting saved over again. If it don't stir you up, see somebody else get saved, something wrong with your religion. I believe that's right. We ought to constantly be, I know the Lord has to do the saving. Don't misunderstand me. But the Lord does use human instruments. The Lord chose, and he can choose whatever he wants to. So he chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We must be begotten by the word of his own will. Begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Therefore, in the light of that, he said, let every man be swift to hear, since you're begotten by the word, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In 1 Peter 1, and down, I think it's verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren. See, you've purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Yeah. You can't obey the truth apart from the Spirit. That's right. So it takes the Holy Spirit to bring the word to you. You hear it in power, not in word only. Then you obey the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So that's how you get saved. You obey the truth. You can't get saved disobeying the truth. So you obey the truth. The truth is God commands all men to repent. God wants you to repent and believe. So you obey the truth through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to help you do that. You couldn't do that on your own. You know, dead and trespassing sin, totally ruined in sin. When God crosses through his word, the Holy Spirit takes his word and crosses us. See, that's what happened to Agrippa. He come face to face with God's man and God's word, and the Holy Ghost was there, and he disobeyed the truth. Same thing happened to Felix. Disobeyed the truth. He trembled at the word of God and disobeyed. So many people I've seen these last 56 years, the truth crossed them. God crossed them with his truth. They know what they ought to do, but they refuse to do it. And I say this over and over again. Illumination is the first work in salvation. The entrance to the word of God gives light. The Lord shines the light in. If people will obey the light to have, God gives them more light. One fellow asked me a while back, said, what about the heathens in Africa and India? And I said, in America? What about the heathens in America? See, we're educated heathens, and some of them folks uneducated heathens. But the worst heathen in the darkest jungle that never has seen a preacher or a church, if he'll obey the light he does have, God will give more light to him. See, Psalm 19 talks about the sun, the moon, the stars. They never silence their voice. Every time the sun comes up, that's telling the world, Jesus, the S-O-N's come down here. Every time it goes down the western skies, that tells you the S-O-N's died at the cross. Every time S-U-N comes up the next morning, that tells you he raised from the dead. That's what the Bible's talking about in Romans chapter 1. The invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood of the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So you don't have to have a Bible to be without excuse. You don't have to have a preacher or a church. Have creation. Creation tells folks there's a God. One fellow said to me a while back, he said, some people think we come from monkeys. I said, well, we know better than that. Monkeys won't do like we're doing. You know, you never hear monkeys doing like people's are doing. May God bless you. It's good to be here, ain't it? Good to be saved. Good to know that you're saved. I preach you can be saved, know it. You may not always be up on cloud nine, have all the assurance you need, but if you're saved, you know about it. And when you get in a good meeting, the Spirit of God's present, blessing people, that'll reassure you. That'll stir you up and make you want to go to heaven if you got heaven on the inside. You've heard me say this. Better thing I've ever said. I've said a lot of times. You couldn't go to heaven if you used to die if heaven's not in you now. See, there's little heaven in you now. If you're saved. If you're not saved, there's little hell in you. So when you die, it just gets greater whichever way you're going. So you ought to be sure you're going to the right place. All right, let's stand, please. I'm reading in 1 Peter chapter 1. The Lord's dealt with our heart. I try to find what the Lord wants me to preach and preach what the Lord wants me to. Sometimes it's the same message. One fellow said, I've heard that message before. I said, I've heard most of these songs before, but I still like them.
Amen, brother.
Amen. So we just have one book, and I'm preaching out of this one book. I couldn't cover all that's in one verse in my lifetime. So it'd be okay to preach the same message two or three times, I think.
Amen.
One time years ago, I was in a meeting and preached the same message three nights, first three nights of revival. And after them three nights, it finally soaked in and we had a good old time meeting. And wintertime, I mean, ice and snow on the ground, turned into day and night service. Somebody said the seventh night of the meeting, said, let's have day service. And them old people come out of there with walking sticks, two walking sticks, walking on snow and ice to get there. See, when God gets in, it's enough to beg him to come. If God's on the inside of them. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect to persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Our Father, we are truly grateful that Christ come to this world, went upon the cross, shed his life's blood for me and for the world. Thank you, Lord, for preserving the word of God for us at this present moment of time. Thank you for this open door we have to try to proclaim the truth here. The good Spirit of God in the service, we pray that you would help us tonight. We confess our inability and our weakness. Give us that special touch it takes to preach the word of God tonight. Stir and revive the hearts of your people. Challenge us afresh and anew. Convict and save sinners for thy glory. Bless everyone that's present, we pray in Jesus' name. With thanksgiving, amen. You may be seated. I'm trying to preach tonight on the precious blood. We believe as Bible believers that it's been blood all the way. We believe it was blood before the foundation of the world. Christ was stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world and was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That he is foreordained to come down here. Since God knows the end from the beginning, God knew what kind of shape we'd be in. And somebody as well said there was a Savior before there was ever a sinner. God didn't have to search heaven to look for a Savior. God had a Savior all the time. We believe it's the everlasting blood covenant, and Christ stood as our surety in that blood covenant to come down here in time and go to the cross and shed his life blood that you and me might be washed from our sins. I say, praise God. It is blood in Genesis 3:21. It's blood in Genesis 4. It's blood in Exodus 12. It's blood upon the cross. It's blood now. And when you get to heaven, it'll still be the blood.
Amen.
I'm glad there's power in the blood.
Amen.
The blood of Christ. And so hungry people, bread's precious to them. Thirsty people, water's precious to them. To the poverty stricken, riches is precious to them. To the sinner who's condemned under God's wrath and law, the blood's precious to him.
Amen.
If you ever get washed in the blood, you won't ever get over it. In time nor eternity. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. It's precious because of its redeeming power. That is, purchasing power. He bought the church with his own blood. Purchased it, Acts 20 and verse 28. Ephesians 1:7, sin whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So if we're saved, we've been redeemed. The devil's not even any relation to us. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purchased with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So you can't go to heaven apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, talking to us sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't reach what God requires. But the next verse said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of the sin of Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus Christ. So if you're a believer in Christ, you've been justified. That's legal. That's God declared you right. Romans 5:1-2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we always have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's why the Bible said in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you're saved through faith. Not just by grace. Faith is a grace, but faith must be exercised. So we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I say, praise God. Grace provides the blood. Faith applies the blood. We stand in grace by faith. Justified. Amen. That is, God declares us right. And so I praise God that there's redeeming power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you never have come to that blood by faith, you're not saved. You might have joined the church. You might have been baptized, even twice. You might try to keep the Sabbath day and do the best you can, pay your just and honest debt. But if you hadn't come to the blood of Jesus Christ, and the blood's been set forth, that is, the blood sprinkled in heaven, God set the blood forth. Christ entered into heaven itself, not by the blood of calves and goats, but by his own blood, and obtained the eternal redemption for us. So the blood of Christ is sprinkled in heaven. Christ is at God's right hand, seated on the mercy seat. So that blood's been set forth for a propitiation, a satisfaction for your sins. In other words, it satisfied God. So you can't get to God apart from Christ. And you can't get to Christ apart from the blood. You can't get the blood except you come by faith. So if you come back that way, then God declares you right. That's a legal aspect in heaven. God in heaven declares you right. And the blood there washes the record clean. See your records in heaven. Your records in all the old accounts there, if you're not saved. All the sin, not just that you're a sinner, everything that you did, everything, all the sin is right there. When you come to God in Christ, justified by faith, in other words, the blood of Christ is the Judas elect. He washes the record clean. That's what the Bible means, Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of earth, and him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's what it does. He washes the record clean. And then God puts on your record in heaven the righteousness of Jesus Christ and declares you right with God. That's what the old timers meant when they talked about getting right with God. They had it right. You was wrong with God. When you got saved and justified, you got right with God. You can't get right with God apart from the blood. Amen. You'd be surprised, people in our day, and I know I have to get sidetracked, almost everybody, they're bow to popes. They're bow to a priest on Sunday morning, pray through a knothole. They get baptized. They eat the sacraments. Everybody in America thinks they're saved. This is the first time in the history of America that you can be a Muslim and a Christian at the same time. Don't think wrong with that. It's not so. If you're a Christian, you're a peculiar person. You set apart. Somebody said, you're not the judge. I said, I know it, but I'm the preacher right now. Amen. And I got to preach the truth. Amen. Neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other foundation any man lay than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If you have him, according to 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son of God hath life. It don't matter what else you've got. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life eternal. But if you've got him, you've got life eternal, whether you know it's eternal or not. I think there's a lot of people got eternal life. They know they're saved, but they don't know they're saved for good. So it'd be a blessing when they get to heaven and find out they've been saved for good all the time, didn't help God save them. I think that'll be a blessing. Don't you think so? Oh, yeah. And so the blood is precious because of its redeeming power and because of its cleansing power. Look here. He not only washed us back there, but he's kept us clean ever since. Amen. The blood still stands in for us. If it wasn't for the blood now, we couldn't stay cleansed. We only stay cleansed because that blood never loses any of its power. You confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Walk in the light. See the light. Have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That makes me feel like taking a jumping spell to know that the blood still cleanses me as I go. Keeps me clean. Walking in the light. Yeah, that's right. Walking in the light of God's Word. Do what the Bible says. You can't beat what the Word of God says. And when I say the Word of God, I'm talking about the authorized version. I'm not talking about what some of these liberals have come up with the last 100 years. I'm talking about what God gave. One man said, well, didn't men write the Bible? I said, sure, men wrote the Bible. You wouldn't expect Billy Goats to write it. But holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is the Holy Bible. God's a holy God. Jesus is the Holy Son of God. The Spirit of God's the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, God wants you to be holy. Be holy, for I'm holy. You want to be holy? You get washed up in the blood. Cleansed by the blood. I like it, don't you? Oh, yeah. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. The Bible said that Christ is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Now, that means that he's the exact same, not three gods. The express image of his person, that means God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God, was God, the great I am. Now, three gods. One God, three manifestations. See, Christ come down. God was in Christ. Christ is the body form of God. God is the Spirit. That is the sovereign being. He's the Spirit. But the Spirit of God come down in Christ. And Christ is the body form of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's a mystery. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Timothy 3 and 16. Without controversy, great's a mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was. Yeah. Testify in the Spirit, seen the angels, preached to Gentiles, believed in the world. God was. Received up to glory. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Somebody said, well, you think he knows everything? God knows everything he chooses to know. Yeah. He don't want to know something, that's his business. Sometimes the Bible reads like he don't know. For instance, over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, we'll go down and see if it's altogether as bad as it seems. Their wickedness had reached out. Well, God knew how bad it was, but he's talking in our language to tell us that sodomy stirs up the wrath of God. You want me to say that again? Sodomy, these he's looking like she's. Effeminate men, male looking women. You know, when I started preaching, men look like men. They wore the pants. Now I've been in places where women come in with bullfighting breeches on. Amen. Oh, yeah. Don't get mad at me. Nowadays, you have to call it a thing. Yeah. You don't hardly know what it is. This same sex stuff is from the devil. Amen. I'm going to rebuke it, and I'm going to preach against it. Amen. This bunch of sodomites and perverts are after your kids and grandkids. You say, well, the government don't like it. The government don't like a lot of things I do. And a lot of things I say, they don't like you either. You just better go ahead and have a good meeting. They know you're out here with us. So Christ, when he had by himself purged our sins, by himself, he sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. He done it all by himself. The preacher quoted, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down and I take it up again. This commandment that I received of my Father. Before the foundation of the world, he got a commandment in the Godhead agreement that he'd come down here in time and lay his life down and take it up the third day. Nothing could alter that. Praise God. I'm glad he done it willingly. He died willingly. He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have spoke the word and sun and the moon and run together and the earth to burned up. He could have saved himself, but he couldn't save himself and save us. Amen. So in order to save us, he didn't save himself. I say, praise God. This blood is pacifying pacifying blood. It has pacifying power. That's why it's precious. It pacifies the broken law. Yes, the Bible said in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. It's a personal cross. It's a predestinated cross. It's a painful cross. It's a payment cross. He paid off what I owed. Praise God. You like that? And I'm glad he did that for us. And listen, he by him to reconcile all things himself. By him I say to reconcile all things through the body of his flesh, through death. He reconciled. That is, he brought us back on friendly terms. The word reconcile means to make peace. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. In other words, the reconciling work's been done. But it must be appropriated to you. God is satisfied. God's not looking for anything else. God's satisfied with the work Jesus Christ did at the cross. Heaven's totally and completely satisfied. Reconciling work's been done, but it won't avail anything for you until it's appropriated to you by faith. Does everybody here see that? I think the sinner needs to see that, don't you think so? It's more than just walking down the church aisle shaking 6-foot spiritual icicle's hand. It's more than answering some questions from somebody. It's more than coming down and making your profession. It's being reconciled, brought back on friendly terms with God. That's why the blood's precious. It has reconciling power. To wit, God was in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, God took the world's sins and he imputed, that is, he charged them to his son. And his son went upon the cross and paid off what the world owed under the judgment of God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's the reason God can look at the world tonight. Think of all the sin, the child abuse, the abortion, sodomy, rape, murder, bloodshed, terror, everything. And yet God can look at this world in mercy. See, only God could do that. You could look at this world in mercy. You don't have that kind of character. But God can look at the world in mercy because Christ upon the cross satisfied and reconciled the world to God by his death on the cross. The world's always been reconciled. Then he goes ahead to say, God was in Christ, reconciled the world himself, not imputing their trespasses on them. Now then, since that happened, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is one sent from heaven, a spiritual ambassador, is sent from heaven with a message, a proclamation. The work's been done. We have the terms of peace here. That's what an ambassador is for the United States. The president picks an ambassador. He goes to represent the country. He goes over there with the terms of peace. He said, America wants to be at peace with you, but you got to come to these terms. You know what's happened to America the last 100 years? The terms have been compromised. Instead of communism coming to our terms, we went to their terms. Instead of the Muslim coming to our terms, we've come to their terms, and now we're trying to get along with all the enemies of America. The same thing's happened in the church. Preachers have compromised the terms. Lowered the terms down. Anything to get professions, anything to make people think they're reconciled, listen, they're going to leave when the pressure's put on if they don't have a true dose of Holy Ghost salvation. So he said, now then we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that be you reconciled to God. Now that's not a contradiction. He reconciled the world himself. Then he turns around through his ambassadors and tells the world to be reconciled to God. Then he tells you how, for God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the only way you can be reconciled to God, be brought back on friendly terms, is to come to God's terms of the gospel, which is repentance toward God, faith toward Christ, and be reconciled to God. That's why if you're not reconciled, if you're a condemned sinner tonight, the wrath of God abides on you, not the love of God, the wrath of God. You're in a love dispensation in the gospel day, church age. But if you're unsaved, John 3:36 says the wrath of God abideth on you. That is, if you used to die in your unconverted, unsaved state, you'd plunge into hell that very second. That's what that verse means. though the work of salvation has been accomplished. But it won't benefit you unless it's appropriated. So then faith cometh by hearing. You don't have any. So God gives us some faith. Come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then God commands you to exercise that faith. Ain't that right? See, I'm getting pretty old. I remember back in the 40s, late 40s and 50s when he got here. They toned it down. And people started making intellectual decisions. And they started with the preachers manipulating people's minds. Anything to get them down front. Anything to get them to walk the aisle. And they'd walk the aisle and they'd assure them that they was okay. They had no broken heart, no contrite spirit. They just got in by a carnal decision. Then they wonder what happens to them after 6 months. Somebody said to me not long ago, I was with a preacher. He said, most of our converts said, the problem is, Brother Mitchell, they don't come back. Do you know why they don't come back? I said, I do know why they don't come back. He said, why? I said, they don't want to. You got to like this to come back. If you don't like this, you ain't come back. You'd rather go to the ball game. At the bowling alley. Ain't that right? You'd rather go down to Dollywood. Oh yeah, they people make arrangements to go to Dollywood for a year. And if it clouds up like it might rain and the meeting's going on, they'll say we would have come, we're afraid it's going to rain. Help us, Lord. Can y'all take that kind of preaching? I think you can take that, can't you? We're filled up with excuses today because it's not deep enough in heart to make a man a new creature in Christ. You got to have the desire. You're going to do what you want to do when the pressure's put on. If you're not really converted, when the testing time comes, you'll do what you want to do. And I, the Holy Ghost is oppressing me. And I'm going to tell you something. And when I say this, it's a general statement. Churches have multitudes of people in them. Multitudes of people in them that they've walked the aisle. They've made the profession. They've assured the preacher that they believe the verses. And you folks that's here, you've heard me say, believing the Bible is not salvation. The Bible is not our Savior. The Bible makes known our Savior. Our faith is anchored in the living Word, you can't see, and that makes the written Word alive to us. We was in a meeting back in January, and the Lord got in it. Don't see many of them kind of meetings. And the Lord got in it. He's in it about all week, but on Friday night, we couldn't hardly dismiss. It is 15 to 10. They just kept coming to get saved. Well, I've done changed clothes and standing way over to the right in a big old church house. And here come a woman. I saw her, old lady. She got a hold of one person, lady's hand, went over and got another lady, come down. She couldn't get on her knees. She sat down on the mourner's bench and she said, I can't carry the load any longer. She said, I want to get saved. You know what that preacher said? He come over and told me, he said, that woman was a member of the church when I got here. Said she's been a member of this church all these years and said she's been the hardest person to deal with I've ever had to deal with since I've been here. But you know what? You know what he told me when I called him back? That fixed it. You want to get fixed? You won't be hard to deal with when you get fixed. Praise God. When you get fixed, you'll endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And you can even, if somebody can even do you wrong, you can still pray for them when you get right with God. You can understand they might be in a weak position and they might be in a defeated position right now and you can pray for them and were it not for the grace of God, you'd be in that shape. Help us, Lord. Oh, reconciling power. Have you been reconciled to God? Jesus Christ was made to be sin. He didn't only bear our sin. He was made to be sin for us. He became the serpent on the pole. He said in Psalm 22:6, I'm no man, I'm a worm. All my bones are out of joint, he said. My bones stare at me. They wag their head upon the cross. He went to hell with our sins in his soul. The heavens and earth blacked out. The entire elements blacked out. And God turned his face the other way. And Jesus Christ's soul was made an offering for sin. And he suffered eternal hell that you and me wouldn't have to go to hell. I believe he went to hell on the cross. That's what hell is, to be separated from God. He cried like a sinner, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God did forsake him in the overwork of redemption. So the only way God could bring us in is to forsake his son. Boy, that gets me stirred up. Praise God. Upon the cross, Jesus wasn't only made to be our sin, he went under the wrath of God. 3 long agonizing hours under the wrath of Almighty God. He cried, I thirst, just like the rich man from hell cries, I thirst. He knows what it is to go under the wrath of God. You know what? We'll never know what it is to go under the wrath of God, because Jesus went under the wrath of God for us. Praise God. I tell you now, we're children of love, and God's wrath's been moved off us now. Praise God forever. We're not children of wrath no more. We were children of wrath by nature. We walked according to the course of this world. When we got saved, washed in the blood, we're children of love now, and the wrath of God's been moved, and Christ took our wrath. That's why we constantly praise him for being made sin for us. If you miss that, you'll miss heaven. That's the only way you can go. A thrice holy God could not accept you unless your sin debt has been paid and personally applied to you. To preach the love of God apart from the holiness of God is a sin. God's love is a holy love. God's attributes are controlled by his holiness. The reason God can't put his love in the heart of a rebel, his holiness will not allow him to do so. God must be true to his own attributes, and he must be just in order to justify ungodly sinners. And God now is just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus Christ. How could that happen? It happened because his just wrath and his just punishment was put on Christ. That's how he can be just. And that's how he can be confess our sins. That's how he can be faithful and just. You ever wonder about that? He is faithful and just. Amen. To forgive us and cleanse us. How could God be faithful to his own holy attributes and just at the same time forgive us mortals as we sin? How could God do that? I tell you how. Our propitiation's at his right hand. The propitiation means satisfaction. God can be as holy as ever, and through our propitiation, forgive us as we sin as saints. Amen. Be as righteous as ever. See, in the Old Testament, they wasn't, and I'm not going to get off on that, but in the Old Testament, they wasn't saved as we're saved. They were not regenerated and born again. Their sins are not washed away. Now, these believers, they had faith. They're justified by faith and a promise. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in the faith, not having received the promise. So they believed the promise that the Messiah was coming. So they offered animal sacrifices. But Hebrews 10 said that those sacrifices, God wasn't well pleased, and they never took away one sin. They caused God to postpone sin. That's why their work was never done. Had to go in there and do that work over and over and over again. They had to have on certain garments. Them priests did, were a certain kind of garment. That's why a Gentile had to become a proselyte Jew in the Old Testament. Because Gentiles didn't have a priest. You can't deal with God without a priest. So Gentiles had no priest. Ephesians 2:12, we were without God. Aliens, foreigners, and strangers to the covenant. On the priesthood garments was the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. No Gentiles. Gentiles were dogs. Cow dogs. Aliens. So if they wanted to get justified in the law, had to become a proselyte Jew, had to accept the Jewish religion in their mind. That's why in Acts 2, you got a lot of proselytes there. There's Gentiles, but there's proselyte Jews. That's what Jesus meant to the Pharisees when he said you could pass land and sea to make one proselyte. After you make him twofold the child of hell, more than yourself. What they're doing is getting the Gentiles to agree with their religious beliefs. But that didn't justify them, because they wasn't justified. This perverting the law. Building fences around the commandments. They made the law of God of not effect, Jesus said. Perverted the law. That's where the synagogues, the Pharisees, and Sadducees come from with the 400 silent years. You go back beyond that, there were no Pharisees and Sadducees and synagogues back there. They just kept perverting that, perverting that, perverting that, perverting that. religion took over the day. When John the Baptist hit the streets, there's the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, three-headed God, religious God. He got to preach 6 months and they killed him. You know who it was against him? Religion. You know who was against Christ? Religion. Oh, he reached out them old harlots, them old crooked tax collectors. Amen. But oh, you talk about rough preaching, Matthew 23, that bunch of Pharisees, he called them fools and blind guides and serpents. That's pretty rough, ain't it? Hypocrites. A lot of folks think me and you preach rough. Hey, we haven't preached no message yet as rough as Jesus preached. Ain't that right? You ought to be glad we're nice preachers. This blood is not a reconciling blood, it's emboldening blood. That is, it gives us boldness, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. That's how you can get into the holiest of all now, by the blood of Jesus. It gives us boldness to enter in, liberty to enter in, right in where God lives. Don't have to wait till next year. Don't have to wait till next Sunday. Don't have to wait till no time. The blood stands in for us. We can go right in right now. Boldest enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. We're supposed to draw nigh with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast our profession without wavering. Amen. Having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with this pure water. Bodies washed. Well, the city water system around here is not clean, not pure. This water is pure water. Ephesians 5, you know what he's doing in the church? He's sanctifying the church and washing it with the water of his word. You ought to take a bath in the word of God every day. All the Bible's for us, all it's not to us. But oh, these instructions in the Bible, we need those instructions to help us live for God, live separated, sanctified Christian lives in this world. Don't you think so? I think so. Bible has a lot to say to Christians, but our duty, our responsibility, since we're saved, we're to walk in the Spirit. Some folks want to run in the Spirit, not walk in the Spirit. They want to run in at 10, now at 12, and you don't see them the next week. The Lord's looking for somebody to walk in the Spirit. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. They didn't run with God. They walked with God. That means they agree with God. That's why you walk with God. You agree with God. If God says walk in the light, you agree with him. If God said, lay aside every weight and the sin that doesn't beset us, agree with him. That's right. If God says, let all wrath and anger and comfort be put away from you with all malice, you agree with him. If the Bible said, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgive you, you agree with him. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You agree with God. You know if it's not right, it's wrong. There's no gray. Nowadays, there's a lot of gray. You can't tell what's God drew the line. He drew the line. If it's not right, it's wrong. He said, not forsaking this sin of self together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more you see that they're approaching. Let us consider one another to provoke and to love and good works. Let us consider one another. The main purpose of the assembly is to consider one another. Somebody here might need a word of encouragement from you. You come out here, you're supposed to consider one another, not to see how the preacher does, not to see who all's there that you disagree with. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a man of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that they're approaching. The fellow said to me long ago, said, you know, I went out there and that fellow over there didn't shake hands with me. I said, did you shake hands with him? He said, no. That's what, he might have thought you didn't want to shake hands with him. You ought to make a special arrangement to go over there. If the fellow hadn't looked at you, be sure and you go over there and look at him and shake hands with him. After all, that's part of the service. Oh, I believe in having a good time, but it's a whole lot more than coming out here and making some noise. You know, when you get out of the nitty-gritty, boy, we can endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. That means go overboard. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. If I know somebody's got something to me, I'll make a special arrangement to get around there to them. Be sure. You might not even know anything about it, but they don't act right towards you. You make special arrangements. Be sure and you get around there to them and shake hands with them and hug the neck. And if you got a little something, get them. Give them $20 and that'll help you get over it. Yeah, we'll help you get over it. Oh, I wouldn't want to go to bed with something in my heart, animosity, or something against somebody. Not me. Oh, no. Somebody said, well, they didn't do you right. They didn't do the Lord right either. They killed most of the apostles. If you live for God, then they're going to like you much. That's right. And I know we're supposed to tell the truth, but you speak the truth in love. You can say about whatever you want to if they know you love them. But they're not going to take it if you don't love them. They got to know first you care about them. And when I preach on sin, I preach on sin so we'll quit it. When I'm preaching on yours, I'm preaching on mine too. And don't sit there and look like you don't have any. Because we got plenty of it. You can take that, can't you? You don't care if I'm preaching that. One fellow said, well, I'm not done anything. I said, it's a sin to do nothing. It's a sin to know that you ought to do good and don't do it. That's what it says, ain't it? You can come to church and sit there with the brakes on and sin. That's right. Grieve the Spirit of God and quench the Spirit of God and hold Him down. I don't want to do that to you. I want to try to, and sometimes you have problems with it because we have a messed up mind. All of us have mental problems. We don't like to be told, but we all got mental problems. Some worse than others. And I can prove we've got mental problems. You want me to prove it to us? You can read a verse of Scripture and forget half of it in 3 seconds. And if somebody tells you a bad tale on a preacher, you'll remember it 50 years. That says you got some problems up here. Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, I've had people say, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Mitchell, don't say anything about it. I said, don't tell me. I'll tell everything I know. Amen. I don't want to know something that you know in somebody. Tell the Lord. Well, I better go on. The overcoming power in the blood. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Who is he that overcometh the world? And it's got to eat it. Overcometh the world. But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So according to those verses, there's no such thing as a worldly Christian. There's Christians that might be carried away with the world, not get into the world, but we're constant overcomers of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. Of course, we've got a battle, we've got a warfare, but we're constant overcomers. It's not a one gigantic step. It's a constant daily walk of overcoming. We're constant overcomers. And there's a lot of things we have to overcome. Yeah. One fellow said, well, do you believe in enduring? I said, sure. Endure hardness is a good soldier. If you think being a soldier in Afghanistan is not enduring, talk to one of these fellows who's been over there a couple of times. Yeah. Talk to some of these Korean veterans. Talk to some of these World War II veterans. They'll tell you there's a whole lot of enduring. If you're going to be a good soldier, now you can be a turncoat.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, they're turncoats on the church. They want to endure hardness as a good soldier. When I was in there, you didn't turn your back. They said there's no such word in the military as retreat. Of course, they got a lot of words in there now. It wasn't in there when I was in there. Because one of them fags got in there when I was in there and did make it 3 or 4 days. They got a dishonorable discharge. Now they've tore all the walls down, letting them in there, beast out and everything else in the military now. Whoever thought we'd ever go that far down the wrong road? And I don't want to get off base there, but I get stirred up about it. You care if I say this right here? You don't care if I leave the message a minute? We're going down. We've been going downhill for the last 53 years at a breakneck speed.
Amen.
And I'm not even a prophet, but I said when we elected that Pope worshiper in 1960 that we would never get over it, and we've not got over it yet, and it's worse now than it's ever been.
Amen.
It did matter before that.
Yeah.
When they got to where faith didn't matter, religion didn't matter, Bible didn't matter. Now, Hillary says, what difference does it make that they all got killed over there in Benghazi? What difference does it make? It makes a whole lot of difference. If we're going to be America like we used to be, talk about the old time ways, brother, if we come back to the Bible, we'll be one nation under God. Now they want to take God out of everything. Somebody said, they got shootings in the school. I said, what do you expect? They don't want God in the Bible. You get the devil if you don't want God. That is right, ain't it? Well, I better go on. I'm glad for this overcoming power. And then we got singing power, sing inspiration. We're going to sing when we get to heaven. I can't sing much here. Revelation 5:9 said, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, loose the seal, and look on, for thou wast slain, hast been must to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. You know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to sing about something happened down here. Christ died down here. You got redeemed down here. If you get over in heaven, You know, a lot of people think heaven's like going to glorified West Virginia. They do think that. Out our way, you know, I told somebody, of course, I'm always broadcasting, we ought to be tuned in. But, you know, out our way, some of them guys will die. Some of them guys that believes in rock and roll, and others believe in bluegrass. Bluegrass fan died after a while back. And on the radio that week, they buried him like on Tuesday or something. And that Saturday night, they were saying, well, we think he's probably in the bluegrass section over in heaven. Listening to this bluegrass singing. They really believe that. You think they don't believe that? They believe that. Did you know the Nashville folks, they have invented a hillbilly heaven. They believe that. Don't look at me like that. Talk to them. They really believe that. They think that's over. And one fellow asked me, said, well, we get to take our dogs to heaven. Did you know America spent $42 billion on pets last year? Killed all them millions of unborn babies. A lot of babies in poverty. You say, are you against me having a pet? No, I'm against you kissing around on tomcats and poodle dogs and killing the babies. Smile. It's unnatural. That's what the Bible's talking about in 2 Timothy 3. That's a church epistle, a pastoral epistle. Perilous times. Remember, he loves his own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Without natural affection. No love for the wife and family. That's why the divorce courts are filled. Quickest place you can get in besides the White House is the courthouse. That's right. They're trafficking in souls. Money's the bottom line. Greed. And what I'm saying all that for, you better come to the blood. Now, I say this humbly, and I'm not thankful for it, but the judgment of God's on this nation. The judgment of God's already on this nation. The handwriting's on the wall. I know we're in a grace dispensation in the church age. I know that. But we're at the last of the church age. We're in the Laodicean church. And Jesus stands at the door and knocks, but most people ignore the knock, both saint and sinner. They ignore the knock. And listen, the Lord's not going to put up with the way things is going, folks. And you know, I know this, and I say this humbly, and I hope you believe me. It's the hardest time that I've ever seen for Christians to have a burden. Me included. And the reason of it is, we've got too many gadgets. You think that's right? We've got too many gadgets. See, first it was television. Then it was computers. You thought that about it. Then it was internet. You thought that about it. Nothing bad much on them for a few years. Then it was cell phones. Then it was iPhones. Most people now need two phones at one time. One young preacher, and I'm through preaching. I was down in Carolina. He said, his first church, I had compassion on him. He said, I'm going to have a 2 weeks revival, day and night. Said, my granddad was a preacher and said, that's where he done it. I said, how long your granddad been dead? He told me how long. I said, in your granddad's day, most of them didn't even have cars. They had to come in a wagon or back end of a log truck or something. And now I said, nowadays they got television, computer, internet, cell phone, and a lot of them's texting while you're preaching. I've been in preachers' meetings where preachers text while a fellow was preaching. I think it's abomination myself. I do. I think it's abomination. I mean, if a preacher couldn't respect another preacher enough to get off of that, you know, that's what the world, that's what the word's talking about in Luke chapter 21. Jesus said to the apostles, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. That's a warning. Not out yonder in vile sin. Cares of this life. Choking out the word. Choking out the spirit. Cares of this life. Is anybody here guilty besides me? Cares of this life. Choke the word out. You lose your joy. Lose your enthusiasm. It won't bother you to miss Sunday night. It's bad to miss church, but it's worse to miss church not be bothered about it. When it don't bother you, see. If you're not bothered, you better be bothered. Have you been washed in the blood? Anybody's been washed in the blood, leave you. Raise your hand real high. You been washed in the blood? God bless you. Amen. Appreciate that. Let's all stand, please. They're coming with a song. I went a little too long there. Hey, God bless you.